The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for Dungeon Masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Do not underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Beyond.
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 That was really nice.
You're really nice.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Podcast Beyond, episode 443. I'm your host, Marty Sliva. I'm joined alongside Alana Pierce.
Hey, what's up?
And Andrew Goldfarb.
Hey, what's up?
Brian Altano is still at home with family on the East Coast, and Max is at jury duty for the trial of the century.
I'll allow it.
A man made love to an animal.
Yeah, we actually don't know why.
We don't know what
Max. Max actually is the defendant.
He's on the trial of the century. So we're running a lean show this week. Brian will be back next week, but Max will not because he's going to Greece or Germany.
To see the play Greece, but he's going to.
I think this time it's Greece next. I don't know.
Doesn't really
matter. He's doing a travel.
Turns out no one cares. Sadness. So the reason Andrew is on his laptop is very important. Why are you on your laptop, Andrew?
I'm looking at pictures of cats.
Hey!
I'm not really.
Much for dogs.
Or dogs. Well,
thank you.
Sorry. Animals? For the research on the trial of the century. No, I am.
Oh, God, I don't want to see those pictures.
I'm actually the lead litigator. No, I am.
Why are you here?
I am looking at my laptop because Disney, about 5 minutes before we started recording this, announced that Disney Infinity is canceled. They are pulling out of the self-publishing business entirely, and they are switching to a licensing model, which means there will still be games with Disney properties, but they won't be made or published by Disney, is kind of our current understanding of it. This happened 5 minutes ago.
Avalanche has been closed, right?
Yes.
That's
so Avalanche
has been around for like 20 years.
Not to be confused with the Avalanche that makes Just Cause, the Avalanche in Utah that
Avalanche
made Disney Infinity. They're gone.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
Like, I mean, they worked on games for, like, I'm pretty sure it's 20 years. I don't remember exactly how long.
Well, it's crazy.
It's
you were there
time.
A month or two ago?
I was there 2 months ago in Utah shooting a documentary about how Disney Infinity toys are made. I met tons of those people who were, like, super passionate about what they did and had basically studied and gone through, like, a Disney-specific school their entire lives to be able to design Disney characters basically for video games. And it's like, does that not exist anymore? Like, what happens to all those people?
My gut is that hopefully Disney is smart enough to continue the toy line, like that art style could lead to something.
Yeah.
So maybe some of those people find like Disney, not Disney Interactive, but Disney jobs,
proper.
Like Disney proper. But the whole thing is
super sudden because but, last I heard it was selling really well.
Yeah, it was the best-selling toys to life at a certain point.
Maybe that's... And that's telling.
The difference is that Disney really, really made this robust game around it. And obviously Skylanders does too, or something like Nintendo. Like, yes, Amiibos are compatible with games, but they're not. There isn't an Amiibo platform. There isn't, like, Amiibo the game that is the thing you buy these for. So I think Nintendo's profit margin was probably a lot higher because they're selling a bunch of toys without really putting in that separate dedicated development cost. We'll see. So, yes, I do have my laptop. If something urgently breaks out of that, there's a small chance I'll run out of the room, but it'll be very dramatic, and Marty will make
a cool
trial of the century joke, probably.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Then we're going to do a two-person podcast, which has never been done in the history of PlayStation.
I think that's
true.
A lie.
That was a joke. Greg and Colin do a two-person podcast.
Yes.
Very good jokes.
Back in the day, it used to be called a fireside chat.
Really?
Fireside.
President used to do fireside chats.
Well, that. But Podcast Beyond used to do fireside chats.
I don't know what's happening, but
that's fine.
Anyway,
Uncharted 4.
Speaking of chats,
we are recording this on Tuesday. This is Uncharted 4 day. Kiss by a rose on a grave. So yeah, Uncharted 4 is out. Our review in progress is out. Last week, Brian, Andrew, and I recorded a spoiler-free 45-minute-ish impressions episode where we told everything we thought about the game. All of that still stands with us. Alana, you got to play a little bit of it, right?
Yeah, I've played like 2 hours, mm-hmm. and from what I played, I loved it. Yeah. And I was totally amazed by how beautiful it is. I absolutely think it is the best-looking game on a console. I think it's better-looking than The Last of Us.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Definitely.
And I also was just super impressed by the animation, the dialogue, and the voice acting. Like, I was super impressed by it, and I cannot wait to play more of it. I just haven't had time, unfortunately.
Yeah, we've had, like, legitimately 2 copies in the office.
Yep.
And so...
And, like, every second of their time, it's
well,
like...
And it's funny, like, Max burned through it in, like, 2 or 3 sittings in hopes of being on the show today. And then he did that thing to that animal.
But I didn't listen to your episode because I try to avoid being influenced by mm-hmm. anyone, even friends or people on the internet, about a game before I completely finish it. But I know that you guys had problems with it dragging on for too long or parts of it being overly long.
Yeah,
and I even recognized that in the first hour in the tutorial. Mm-hmm. It was like, I was like, huh, this is a weirdly large amount of climbing for a small thing. And that's something that occurred to me really quickly in the game, but I dismissed it as, but I don't care because the animation's really good and the dialogue's really good and I care about what they're saying, so I was fine with it.
Yeah.
And I'm interested to see how that will develop as I finish it, hopefully this week, to see if I will still be fine with it the whole way because it's excused by good dialogue, which is really important to me, mm-hmm. or if I get annoyed with it and think it drives on.
And it's like a lot of people were focusing on the complaints and problems we had with the game. All of us still think the game is incredibly great. Like, I think Uncharted 4 is awesome.
Yeah.
I just played it for 2 hours on a stream with Naomi, and I was like, oh my god, all this is so incredible.
Yeah,
the set pieces, the puzzles,
but I think
game.
Even that said, like,
you can
that we all have different opinions on it.
Yeah,
at least a little.
Max
loves it.
Max adores it.
Yeah,
like, Max didn't have a single bad thing to say about it.
Seems like Brian likes it the least.
Mm-hmm.
Max
yeah.
likes it the most, and you guys are kind of
in the middle.
I think I'm probably like a smidge more towards Max, and you're probably a smidge more towards Brian, is maybe the impression I get. But it's I think like it's that weird thing where people online got like Lucy reviewed it for us and people got very angry, but you know, I think ultimately, like, we all really like the game. Like, even our most negative comments are nitpicks for something that we are really enjoying.
And
you
you're
know?
Allowed to criticize something you love.
Exactly.
That's like the most important thing, right? If you like something, you should criticize it to make it get even better. Like, it doesn't mean you don't like it. I hate that. But I also think it is worth talking about the criticism that parts of it drag on for too long. Like, in a way that's not spoilery, I know there are parts of the game where even the characters will refer to something mm-hmm. taking too long. They'll be like, oh, another one of these?
Yeah.
Like, when that happens,
which is, like, cute
you know,
the first time, but the third time, you're like, all right, well, why
didn't you stop this? The studio is aware of
it
then, right? They're like, oh, this went for too long.
What's it called? Lampshading?
Lampshading.
Yeah, where you acknowledge the problem to try to address what the audience will say.
Yeah. Which, I mean, doesn't fix the problem, but again, I think it depends on
Andrew
the
is
individual.
Googling lamp shading right now.
Oh,
I'm actually googling Mass Effect Andromeda.
Oh, okay.
It's
relevant.
Actually been
highly
renamed
relevant.
Mass Effect Lampshade. So yeah, by the obviously anyone who's listening to the show probably went out and bought the game today and is probably enjoying it. And by the end of the week, weekend, beginning of next week, we're gonna have a full spoiler cast.
We also are expecting Lucy's full review at some point.
Yeah, because it was a review in progress, just because
she couldn't play the multiplayer.
In Uncharted 3 and The Last of Us was a huge part of the game. Same thing in 4.
I really like the Uncharted 4 multiplayer.
Yeah, and Lucy's really liking it too. So,
cool.
We'll have our full final review soon.
Mm-hmm. And probably talk about it more next week when Max and I have also finished it.
Will
Max
will
isn't
be.
Gonna be here. God damn it, Max. Stop assaulting
Max.
Animals.
Vintage. I mean, that's the whole thing. He assaulted so many animals, he's getting sent to Greece or Germany.
Question mark?
One of those animal assaulting places. Something we can talk about is the Battlefield 1 reveal,
mm-hmm.
which happened...
Oh, like the one that came out way back in the day?
Yeah. 1? No, that was 1942.
And then Vietnam.
Colloquial known as Battlefield 1. Yes, after much speculation and leaks and hype and discussion on this podcast, Battlefield 1 was revealed. And yes, it is a World War 1 game.
Yay.
Get it? Like Battlefield World War One.
I understand. Yeah, it's weird. That's the number one.
So
the numeral.
We've been having so many conversations about this week. What they're going for is that there's already Battlefield 2. There's already Battlefield 3 and 4. What they're saying is none of those would exist without the, I guess, the way that war evolved during World War One.
Yeah, I mean, it's the first modern war.
Canonically, this influences the other Battlefield games.
I mean, that's
is that their
ridiculous?
Is that their line?
Yeah, that's their line of logic.
Absolutely, I don't think that's their line of logic. That's just them being fancy. They're like, yeah. Oh, we need to call it this, and then excuse it by being philosophical.
And it's like my first reaction was like, well, how do you make a sequel to a game called Battlefield One? Because there's already a Battlefield Two. But I think their answer to that is, well, that's the point, that this came before all those other ones. But I'm like, well, no, like the next is the next one called Battlefield 5 then?
I mean, a lot of games are moving away from numbers anyway.
Yeah.
So maybe
AC's moved away from numbers.
I mean, technically Battlefield 1942 and Vietnam were 1 and 2, but they didn't have numbers. So
well, and that's why I think everyone thought this would be called Battlefield : The Great War or whatever, like something. Or just Battlefield 5. I don't know. Yeah. I find it so strange.
It's dumb, but I also think it doesn't matter so much. Like we already are familiar with the name. Everyone knows what you mean when you refer to Battlefield 1. There's no confusion, so it's effective.
Yep.
And but I'm like also pretty excited about it.
Yeah. In the reveal, they announced the game's coming out October 21st.
Mm-hmm.
And they showed a trailer that was, they said it was in-engine, but it's definitely not. I take that with a grain of salt. I don't take it with a grain of salt that it was in engine.
Yeah.
But being in engine means that
in engine.
It means that what did you say?
I said steer into the skin.
That's not what I heard.
What do you hear?
Nothing. Moving on. It doesn't mean that that's indicative of what the actual game is going to look, because you have to render an entire world as opposed to these shots where you're just able to render certain things that you're viewing. That being said, I almost knocked my entire coffee over. I thought the trailer was super cool.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it totally is.
I mean, it was also helped by the fact that it came after Call of Duty Infinite Warfare's trailer, which was boring and overly long. So in comparison, it was like, yeah, it's good.
Yeah,
they had like that cool remix of
Seven Nation Army,
which wasn't a crappy cover. It was a remix, so it was still Jack White, which
is
nice.
It's nice walking away from a trailer being like, oh, I want to see more of that.
Totally.
Like,
which
I
is
would
what
rather
trailers
have
should
that.
Do, right?
Yeah.
And it's so often screwed up. Like, Batman v Superman is a perfect example of that. I
mean,
not to do a trailer.
Yeah, yep. Exactly.
Whereas the Battlefield 1 trailer was super pretty, and for whatever reason, I really care about World War One, and I said this last time, but it's like, I really hope that it does the brutality of that war justice. I mean, all wars are brutal, but I really hope that they don't keep out trench warfare or
it doesn't seem like
gas,
they are. I mean, that like the trailer showcased like stuff like mustard gas. It showcased biplanes. It showcased the physical brutal combat. It seems like you're going to be. They almost said, I think the game is doing what I want from every game. It's going to tell multiple stories. It's going to have. It's going to be a series of vignettes.
Like Valiant Hearts.
Yeah. I bet one of them won't be a dog though. Or the dog was all of them, right?
You don't know.
No, I do know.
As long as Max is
finished this video game. As long as Max isn't there.
It's not a good running joke.
No, this is terrible.
I do think the weapons will be the most interesting part to me. I think the type of, especially like ranged weapons and like automatic weapons you get used to in a shooter especially, it'll be really interesting what they replace that with. Mm-hmm. I'm still imagining in multiplayer we'll see some anachronisms. Like we'll see some like crazy machine guns or whatever that you can unlock late in the game that sort of break the illusion a little bit, but just allow you to have the mechanics you would expect. Because otherwise, it's like if there's like wall running and kind of the things that you're expecting from Black Ops 3 or Titanfall in Call of Duty, and then you go to play this and it's very slow paced, that would be the biggest departure for Battlefield in a very long time.
Yeah, that's true.
It definitely didn't look slow paced.
No,
like
not
it
at
looks
all.
Like it's taking the elements that are historically accurate and injecting them with steroids.
But that's the thing. Like, it looks fast-paced when you're up close and personal. We don't know what ranged combat looks like yet. And you'll have tanks and all kinds of artillery and stuff, so I guess it's maybe that. Maybe it's you rely more on the vehicles. But it's still that really interesting, like, well, what does that mean for, you know, like, can you get some kind of weapon? Because I, like, am far from an expert on World War One weapons or anything, obviously. Like, I don't know what, you know, existed in that time.
You have so many rapiers. Is this one of the weapons? It's one of the things here.
No,
you get
a spike baton, a French
shovel, and a rapier.
Yep, that's
in engine.
Confirmed so far.
In engine. Yeah, I think the things that I'm most interested in are stuff like mustard gas, and I know it's going to have gas masks as well, like mm-hmm. how they'll use as a mechanic. I think like, all that stuff is really interesting.
The gas mask stuff could be terrifying.
Totally.
Like, could you imagine, like,
I hope it's
it
terrifying.
Would almost be like a drift where, like, yeah. your breathing gets heavy and, like, your field of view is limited.
Yeah. It made me think of Metro, like Metro 2033
oh,
and Last
man,
Light.
Man, that'd be so good if they used it like Metro.
Yeah, I can totally see them doing that, at least in the campaign. I mean, we don't know. Man, like, it would be crazy. Like, deploying gas in multiplayer and disabling an entire team is yeah. insane to me. Like, I think yeah. they could do a lot of really, really interesting stuff. So
yeah, I wonder how they'll use trenches in
yeah,
multiplayer.
Like, are you going to be digging a trench?
Yeah.
Can you dig a trench all the way to the center of the Earth and find the Molemen?
Probably not.
Yeah, I believe that's what World War One was about,
yeah.
actually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the search for the Molemen. Yeah. The yeah. Ottoman yeah. Empire was trying to harness the power of the Molemen.
Exactly. Yes.
Yep. You'll be going to places as such as France and Italy and the Arabian Desert. Yeah, and it said you're going to be following a bunch of different characters, and they've sort of said they want to present a wide spectrum of stories that often go untold.
Like the Harlem Hellfighters, which is really cool.
Harlem Hellfighters, which was a group of African-American soldiers. They said they want to focus on like what women were doing, like the untold stories, which I think is super cool.
Yeah, totally agree.
I mean,
Valiant Hearts actually completely does do that, but the story of the nurse mm-hmm. character
yeah.
was very interesting and totally worth seeing more of.
Yeah, totally. It's an interesting juxtaposition between what we saw a couple
yeah,
days before.
We do say interesting a lot.
Yeah, we say interesting, yeah. evidently, juxtaposition, nebulous, just deal with it. We talk a lot. And sometimes we say the same words.
Mostly to each other.
Yeah, it's so, pretty bad. We need to yep. spend more time apart.
Interesting.
It's really interesting. So evidently, no. I thought the Infinite Warfare reveal wasn't nearly as good as this. I liked the second half of the trailer a lot.
Yeah.
Like once you got to space, I was like, oh, this looks different.
Yeah,
this
totally
looks cool.
Agree. Why didn't they
I'm totally
just
down
have
for
that?
It. Yeah, but then all this, there's all this insane stuff about how Battlefield has become the most upvoted trailer
yeah.
on YouTube, and Call of Duty has become the most downvoted.
Yeah, so
which
there were
me
a few
really
people
indicative.
That I spoke to on the Beyond YouTube channel in the comments who were like saying that Call of Duty fans don't want this future stuff, and obviously it has tons of dislikes, but it's like, but then why do you keep buying them? Like, I mean,
also
people just keep buying them.
I think it's a vocal minority that doesn't really want it, because I think the game is still going to be the best-selling game of the year.
Yep.
That and the amount of people who leave dislikes compared to the amount of people who leave likes. Like, people are a lot more likely to dislike something mm-hmm.
and
like
it's
it
also,
if they do like it.
It has 16 million views, and it does. It has 1.6 million dislikes. That's still 10%. You know, that means 90% of the people who watched the video didn't like or dislike it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many likes does it have?
298,000.
Oh.
Wow. That's a thing. But, I mean, it isn't a good trailer, to be fair.
Yeah.
It's also like, I don't... Yeah, it's hard to say what people want. Because the sales kind of disagree. Yeah.
Also,
I
really have a feeling, just pure gut check, like we don't know anything yet, but I really think that we have seen a very good chunk of what Battlefield 1 is. Like, obviously, there will be multiplayer modes and maps and things we haven't seen yet, but I think we get it more than we get Infinite Warfare. I have a feeling there's probably... Because, like, in that trailer, you're going between planets, and there's a lot more to it that I would imagine could make people care more. I think, like, if it's not just Call of Duty in the future, if there's some twist to it,
if it's Halo, but good.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, I love Halo, but I mean,
what?
No, I mean, I didn't like Halo 5's campaign. Is what I'm trying to say.
I'm bummed. I still haven't played Halo 5's campaign. It's the only Halo campaign.
You know,
played.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, Beyond.
Beyond. What's up, everybody? I'm Marty Sleva.
That's not how I start things, is it?
What's up, everybody?
Hey guys, I'm Marty.
Hey everybody.
What is that?
I do.
Oh,
a
you do a wave.
Yeah, shut up.
Hey guys, speaking of great trailers, Marty, what's next on the list?
Next up, I'm Marty. We are talking about Persona 5, I guess. Andrew,
the floor is yours.
Oh, dang. fittingly, on May 5th, we got an event live from Tokyo Tower, which is a really big place in Japan.
What do you mean, fittingly, on May 5th?
Persona 5.
Oh.
They announced the
we're right, is it?
Japanese release date of Persona 5. We saw a new trailer. We met some new party members. They revealed a whole bunch of stuff. That's really exciting. It's
the UI,
out.
Dude. The UI looks
dude, the
amazing.
The UI is so stylish.
That game's very, very pretty. And it's very Catherine-inspired, which makes me really happy.
That makes me real.
But the UI is like, yeah, everything they're doing with UI and menus and everything is just so cool and smart. If you haven't seen some of those videos,
very different.
Highly recommended.
Yeah.
yeah. But so they revealed that stuff, and the interesting thing that stuck out to us, I said interesting.
That's fine.
The fascinating thing that stuck out to us was that this is coming out in Japan on September 15th. And that leads to two questions. The first of which is, will this be in the U.S. in 2016? And then the second of which, I agree, it probably won't be. The second of which is, what does that mean versus Final Fantasy? And then if this is coming in the U.S. in Q1, what does that mean versus Mass Effect, which we got officially confirmed today will be an early 2017 game? That's a Western RPG, obviously.
I still think there'd be a lot of overlap there.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And I think any, like, even time investment-wise, even if there aren't gameplay similarities, like, if you're going to put 100 hours into a game, like, in Final Fantasy is going to get a lot of people in September, but what does the next 6 months look like at that point? Because Horizon is also a game that we're theoretically getting this year that rumors are saying maybe 2017.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to get that game this year.
I don't think so either, but if that's a Q1 2017 game then versus Mass Effect and...
And from what we've heard from Horizon is that it's secretly a lot more RPG-ish than you think or than they originally showed.
God, I think that game looks awesome.
Oh, yeah. That was one of the best games.
But I also think Persona 5 looks awesome coming from someone who's never played a Persona game. Like, from what you showed me, I think... Stop. I think it looks really, really good, and I actually do want to play it. Like, in my head just then, I was weighing up, like, Mass Effect or Persona or Final Fantasy, and I'm like, no, I have to play all of those games.
That's what's weird. And that's not even counting, you know, whatever, Watch Dogs and Titanfall and whatever else is probably coming this year. I think time always becomes an issue. Last year, obviously, with Metal Gear and The Witcher and Fallout.
Yeah, we had
kind of a similar problem.
That's why I got tendonitis.
Oh, no.
Legitimately. Those games gave me tendonitis.
Too much gaming.
Yes.
I think there was less, a little bit less genre overlap there.
Fewer genre overlap.
I hate you. I think the people who were really, really, really into Metal Gear obviously could like The Witcher and Fallout, but they were a little more, there was more variation there.
They are very different, yeah.
Whereas I think Persona and Final Fantasy have much more direct overlap.
Yeah, I think there are fans of both of those franchises too. And I think a lot of those folks might also be fans of Mass Effect. Just, you know, as three of the biggest RPG franchises of the last, I mean, Final Fantasy is 30 years, but the other two are the last decade, 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting seeing what this looks like. I think right now Persona is very, very big in Japan. They just announced another set of stage shows. Persona 3 still has movies coming out, and that's like a 10-year-old game by this point. Yeah.
There's that really good Vine.
There's that really good Vine that, cool that Chris Trinidad Person made.
There was that cool snowboarding thing that you have things.
Oh, the Persona Snow Festival.
That was Persona Snow Festival.
I mean, that's what's weird. Persona is a cultural phenomenon right now.
Pay attention to what my friends like.
I appreciate that. Persona is a cultural phenomenon right now in Japan. And since it became that big, there hasn't been, like, Persona 4 Golden came out and did very well on Vita, you know, proportionately to what you would expect for that install base. But PS4 is huge right now.
Yeah.
And also, in Japan at least, Persona is coming to PS3, which is really interesting because that install base is obviously gigantic as well.
Huh.
So in Japan, I think we'll see pretty good sales for this, even right before Final Fantasy. It'll be very interesting to see what happens in the West because, you know, obviously Vita, like Persona 4 Golden is among the top-selling Vita games, but that doesn't really mean anything because so few people own a Vita. So it'll be really interesting, especially in the wake of Final Fantasy, to see what's happening with Persona 5.
Yeah, I mean, I can't... We're going to get the American release date at some point soon, right?
Or the I would assume... Date. So they also confirmed this. Persona 5 will be at E3. That's the first North American event it will technically be making an appearance at. Because there wasn't, you know... I believe there was a montage at PSX, but...
Has it been in Japan? Has it been in a Japanese
event? TGS.
Right.
Yeah, they revealed a bunch of stuff at TGS.
Yeah, I could see it being on Sony stage.
Yep.
And then releasing a date. Like, my gut tells me it's not this year. Like you said, I mean, it'd be crazy if it was. And also, that'd probably be good for Sony if rumors of Horizon being next year. And then, I mean, Last Guardian's still on track for this year. But
I feel like competing with Final Fantasy is suicide.
It's weird, right? I mean, Final Fantasy has been, especially after 13, I think its relevance has fallen a little bit.
Totally,
I think
but
fewer
people can care again now.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
Care.
15 is a very big upswing.
Be the thing that brings Final Fantasy back to its former glory.
I think they're counting on it.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so interesting that they're...
Interesting.
Darn it. That's why it's such a thing? A nebulous thing.
Fascinating. Mesmerizing.
Evidently.
That's why it's worth comparing, though. I think that, like, right now we have this weird JRPG, like, battle being set up that I don't think we've had in a long time because traditionally it's like Final Fantasy is going to win. I don't think Persona 5 will outsell Final Fantasy worldwide, but in Japan it'll be really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, Final Fantasy is multi-platform. In Japan, that doesn't matter, because you know where Xbox One games go in Japan? Literally behind the PSP games.
Yeah,
like,
that's
it
what
is
so
insane.
PS1 games we saw. Like, when we were in Japan, just anecdotally, we were in a store that had gigantic PS3 display, or PS4 was obviously front and center.
Yeah.
Gigantic 3DS Vita display. Gigantic Wii U, a little bit of Vita, and then literally in the very, very, very back corner of the store, there was a row of PSP and a row of PS1, and then behind that, there was a tiny little shelf of Xbox One,
that
Xbox
had, like,
360
Quantum
games.
Break. Yeah, wow. It was insane. Yeah.
So I don't know what that looks like. I'm really, really excited to see how this franchise does, and I'm especially excited, like, aside from everything else, at E3, I think we'll finally see uninterrupted gameplay. I think we'll get a proper gameplay demo rather than just a trailer showing snippets.
Also, the one game we don't have on here, Ni No Kuni 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
that's the thing. Ni No Kuni 2. And also, I mean, you'll roll your eyes at me, but Danganronpa 3 is coming to PS4. It's not just a Vita game anymore. And, like, all of those
niche... It's not just a Vita game.
This ain't your mom's Danganronpa. but that's the thing, like...
Mom's alone on Vita Island.
There are so many... console JRPGs has fallen. Yeah, some of them are more niche than others, but it's a crazy competition for your time and your money. And I really think Final Fantasy will come out ahead, but I think Persona 5 will make a bigger dent than people expect.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I think we can all agree that this fall is going to be interesting.
What specifically
Evidently.
Is interesting about it?
This is going to be a meteor shower.
Oh, that is very interesting.
Yeah. They're going to raise the interest on games.
So next up, we're talking about Resident Evil 7.
Bum, bum, bum,
Capcom
bum.
Make Resident Evil great again.
That's just my working headline.
Yeah, I said it very dramatically. Capcom make Resident Evil great again?
So let's look at this, right? I guess Resident Evil 4 is probably the last thing considered to be a great Resident Evil.
Well, and so read where this is coming from.
Capcom's recent financial results include a mysterious reference to the company's plans for Resident Evil series. It was spotted by a NeoGAF user, Chobel, that said, Capcom's most recent investor reports tease a full-scale offensive for the Resident Evil series, possibly indicating the release of at least one more Resident Evil game besides the upcoming Umbrella Corps before the end of the financial year on March 31st, 2017.
Yeah, and so Capcom in an earnings call said that that Umbrella Corps, which is releasing right after E3, is just the.
Is that how you say that? Is that
core.
Not said corpse?
Yes.
Wow.
That's fine. Roll through it.
I didn't know that.
That's just the first game in what they're calling, quote, a full scale offensive of Resident Evil to last through the fiscal year, which is the end of March 2017. Mm-hmm. And so this leads us to question: is there? What's going on with Resident Evil as a series as a whole? Like, we know that they're working on that Resident Evil 2 remake.
Yes.
We know that's something Capcom's working on.
I mean, the remake of Resident Evil 1 was sort of last year. That was really good.
Yeah, I mean, the re-release of the remake.
Yes, that was a thing that happened.
Yeah, yeah. But honestly, you have to figure...
I just don't care. You know, I just don't care about Resident Evil anymore.
See, I feel like I won't care until I see something that makes me care.
Something like that's like 102. Yeah.
I'm definitely paying enough attention that if they release some crazy trailer, they could get me back.
Yeah.
But yeah, like Umbrella Corps and all these spin-off games.
Hey, you know what horror series totally lost its luster? Silent Hill. And you know who won us back?
PT?
Silent Hills. Yeah, that totally won us back by
that
doing a single smart...
That is true.
This article came out in October 2015, and was something I wanted to address as well.
Capcom's Resident Evil studio focused on virtual reality. Oh.
So back at, where did this come from? There was a earnings report in late 2015 where there was a quote that said, "At present, we are focusing our energy on challenging the virtual reality game market. In this terrifying world, you can twist and turn as you like, but there's no escaping the creatures closing in on you until you remove your VR headset and return to reality. We deliver this very experience with our kitchen VR technical demo at E3. The response was excellent."
Wait, those guys at the kitchen?
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah. So that was the Resident Evil team.
Right.
It says, "Currently we're building a new game development engine able to support VR, which is the hottest market right now, while simultaneously developing titles for current-gen game consoles. We have just set sail on our latest voyage."
Hmm.
So that was coming from October 2015.
Oh, so it's going to take place on a boat.
It's going to take place on
nice.
A boat. So this is interesting for two reasons to me. Obviously, the VR focus, because I think it would make... Damn it. This is relevant for two reasons
to me. There's a new Beyond Drinking game.
Also, if I say or like, we'll all be dead if we drink. But no,
yeah.
I think like the VR stuff whatever, like that market is really crazy and you can experiment in
a lot of ways. I like how they say hottest. Like, that's such a vague term. Like, people are interested in it.
Everyone's talking
about it. People sweat a lot when they wear those helmets.
But the bigger thing to me is that this is coming from October, and they say we have just set sail on our latest voyage, meaning this may have been in development for a while.
Yeah.
And to Marty's point, like, this is something Marty's been saying all day. I'm sorry, did you say interesting?
Yeah, I did.
Damn it. To Marty's point, we may see, maybe we see Resident Evil that gets the Fall 4 treatment. Maybe it's announced at E3 and out in the fall.
Yeah, I mean, I think that'd be crazy.
I would be totally for a Resident Evil VR game. I would be for that.
For Resident Evil?
Because he did add it's VR.
Oh!
Yeah.
Resident Evil.
No, Evil Levy.
Yeah, I mean, did you get to play the kitchen demo?
No, that's the only one that I haven't played.
Okay, so it's very scary. It's not. It's very minimal interaction. But I
kind of understand what it is. It's basically like you're sitting in a chair.
Yeah, you're like a cop who wakes up and he's tied to a chair in a real creepy kitchen, and your partner's all passed out on the floor, and this real scary woman comes in and stabs him, and then you're trying to, like, you have you're holding the DualShock controller, and it's almost like your hands are tethered. So as you're moving them, it's like you're moving your hands, and you're trying to cut yourself out of the handcuffs or out of the rope. But the woman, you can hear her; she's lurking behind you. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those, like, I don't want to turn around. It's like I don't want to turn around. And then you turn around, she just snarls at you. You eventually get your throat slit. That's not good. Don't get audited. That's bad.
Awful.
Yeah.
But sounds very scary, though. Yeah, scary.
It is very scary.
It affected a lot of people.
Were there
a lot of
spoofs?
People spoken about it.
There was a large amount of spoofs.
Oh, yeah, several spoofs.
Too many spoofs for me, I would say.
You just spoof
so
yourself.
So I played Resident Evil 1 and 2 and really, really liked them, but a very long time ago. So I was really happy when Resident Evil re-released last year because I needed that refresh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really, like, I played, I was going to say interesting and didn't. Oh, but then I said it anyway.
Oh, dang.
I played Resident Evil 1 and 2 way back in the day. I loved 4. Like, at the time, I really liked 4. And then I weirdly played a decent amount of 5 just because it was co-op and I played it with friends. But I didn't really, like, love it. It was just something we were doing because it was passing the time, basically. Like, it was a fun thing in the moment. But looking back on it, that's not a game I have any great love for.
Yeah.
6 totally lost me.
I played 6, too.
So just overlong and jumping back and forth and kind of felt like it just lost track of what I think that franchise was.
Yeah, and it's because the creators of the franchise, Mikami, who created the franchise and did Resident Evil 4, is now at Tango. And they last did Evil Within. And then Kamiya, who directed Resident Evil 2, is at Platinum doing Scalebound and Bayonetta and all that. Mm-hmm. And so you don't have those, like, core leaders who were there from the beginning.
It's also just, I kind of wonder if Resident Evil as a format, like the way that it was originally, I don't know if that would work now. Like the way as the Evil Within, it kind of works because that's basically modern Resident Evil. But Resident Evil core gameplay, the way that it was, I don't know if it would.
Yeah,
resonate.
I think they need to rethink all of it. Yes. I think honestly, at this point, like, we need a full-on reboot because one of the things that 6 got people hooked on was, okay, you have Leon, you have Chris, you have everybody, and it's kind of taking all of the characters you know and putting them in one thing. We got that game. Like, I feel like we don't need more. Like, maybe take Umbrella Corps as, like, a name and let them start something new. And
is Umbrella Corps the episodic one?
No, Umbrella. That was
because I played some of that too.
No, that's Revelations.
Revelations.
Yeah,
yes.
That was Revelations too. Umbrella Corps is a team-based multiplayer shooter.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
But I mean, sorry, I mean Umbrella Corps as, like, the organization within the series.
Oh, yes.
Like, take that. Launch something new. Shouldn't be Leon, shouldn't be anyone we've met before. Like, start over, I think, would be the best thing for this franchise at this point.
I mean,
yeah.
I think
VR would also be cool. But
yeah. Totally. I don't think those have to be separate.
And I think it could be, I mean, maybe, I'm really excited for Sony's conference because I really hope we get these games that are really just exciting and cool and they're for PS4, but then they're like, or play it in PSVR. And it's not like it's required. It's not like you only buy PSVR for it, but there's a VR kind of version of it, or maybe VR-specific missions or something like that.
I don't know how that works in terms of development. Like,
that's the thing.
I don't know how that would function.
Well, and that's why this Capcom statement is... Well, I mean, it is interesting. I'm taking it back.
Oh, he's bringing it back.
Because what it says is, currently we are building a new game development engine able to support VR while simultaneously developing titles for current-gen game consoles.
Right. Yeah, that's what I would have thought they would need to do, is build an engine for it, because... Totally don't know much about development, but VR games, because the 360 and regular games aren't, you know, I feel like the world is bent differently.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like,
you're making an assumption that that's the way the game's going to be. You reviewed Chronos, which is totally...
It's basically like Resident Evil. That's true, where it has like a fixed, I don't want to say fixed camera, but a fixed point.
Yeah,
and then it's you almost, control the camera.
Your head's
from
almost
that.
Like a tripod in a room. Yeah, and you can't really leave the tripod.
I even wrote in my review of that game that it was Resident Evil expired.
Yeah,
expired, inspired. So that would obviously
Resident
work.
Evil. Resident Evil has expired. It's the old milk of franchises.
The old milk of franchises in engine.
Yeah, you know, I've changed my mind. Oh, I said that I didn't care, but now I do care. Yeah.
Well, is that, and
you
that's
guys did
what's
a real
so
good
funny.
Job of that.
Like, I don't care until I start talking about it, and I'm like, oh, I kind of care.
Yeah, I care a little bit.
I would totally play. I don't want franchises to be bad. You know, it's not
totally.
Like I'm like, haha, Resident Evil fans, like, you get what you deserve or something. Like, no, like, I want everyone to have fun, awesome games. It's just this thing where, like, I'm so tired of the world they've built.
Yeah.
And that's why I would love to see a clean slate. And they can do...
I mean, that's how I feel about Assassin's Creed. Which they kind
they're
of have
taking
done.
A year off. Yeah.
I'm very... That's another franchise where I'm just very curious what that will look like when
it comes
back. I just
don't care anymore.
Tomorrow we get the...
But if
actually,
we spoke about it, I'm sure I could.
You go to Egypt, you get to run up a pyramid.
What?
That's the secret to caring, is just talking about it.
Wow, yeah.
I think...
Relationship advice with Andrew Goldfarb.
Tomorrow, yeah, I'm the one to ask. Tomorrow is our first look at the Assassin's Creed trailer for the movie.
Yes. Yeah,
so excited. That'll be a really...
It's going to premiere on the James Campbell Show.
Exciting.
I think it's going to be interesting.
If you're listening to the audio version, you should have seen Marty's face just then. But
how would you have described it?
Blank. It was very blank.
Handsome.
Aw. Moving on.
Kissable.
Doom.
Save me.
Doesn't have any review copies going out before launch. I think that they're all going out basically on launch day.
I mean, in theory, we're probably going to buy our copy.
Yes.
So,
to me is insane.
This was their statement. They claim that Doom is a robust game comprised of single-player campaign, online multiplayer, and snap map. We believe all three elements are important parts of a complete Doom experience and are meant to be experienced as part of a complete package.
Oh, dang. I couldn't get the snap map.
Since Doom's snap map and multiplayer modes require access to a server that won't be live prior to launch, review copies will arrive on launch day.
Man, you know what would have been cool?
Reviews
could have played through the 15-hour single-player campaign.
And this is the thing, right? It's that...
And just have the embargo be after that.
Also,
so
like, real life doesn't, like, everyone who works at a GameStop store or a Target or anything probably has these in the back room already.
Oh, there's plenty of pictures of the game is out in the wild, and so people are just going to be streaming it. And
that's what's frustrating. Like, it comes out in Australia first because of time. Like, I don't understand what they are thinking other than we don't want reviewers to have it early because it's bad.
Look,
like,
that's
where my
exactly
gut goes.
Exactly what I think. In the past, every time that a game has come out, or you don't get a review copy until launch day or after launch day, it's because the game is bad.
Not every time.
Sure, not every time.
Yeah.
I'm totally generalizing.
Yeah,
but
a lot of times that's a safe bet.
And that,
I would
because
even say
of that,
most.
That's kind of what I assume.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's what I'm jumping to, is that it's...
I don't know. What we've played, what Jared saw, I think he saw 2 hours of the campaign, and he loved it. So.
I mean, I like what I've seen of it, too.
Totally. And it's coming from Bethesda. It's not...
But I also, like, I understand that statement. Like, I mean, I don't necessarily think it's all that logical, but I understand where they're coming from. Like, we want you to have to review the multiplayer also. We want you to value the multiplayer, and we're not going to have servers up. So, I mean, I get that, but, I mean, it sucks for us.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks for us. It also sort of sucks for the consumer, because day one, you're like, oh, what did everyone think of the game? Oh, there's literally zero scores.
Have to buy it to see.
Yep.
Yeah. So you either buy it day one hoping it's good, or you wait a couple days until, you know, you read... A handful of reviews.
And that's where it's unfair, because, like, there are all these cool pre-order bonuses and midnight launches and all these things that it's like, if you want to take part in that, you have to take that risk. And that's where it gets kind of not unfair. I mean, it's not obviously, like, you should wait. Like, honestly, I would always recommend waiting for reviews. And I say that as somebody who has spent a lot of money already pre-ordering Persona 5 special editions that aren't even in my language. But I think that if you have any concerns about the game, you should wait for reviews. And I think this is a major indicator that you should especially wait for reviews.
Yeah.
And maybe it's great. Honestly, maybe that statement's not BS. Maybe you really do need to get all parts of it. And maybe it's the Doom reboot we've all been waiting for. But I'm very skeptical.
And I mean, it totally makes sense coming off of something like Uncharted, where the embargo was beforehand. And a lot of sites put up just straight up scores, and that's kind of without factoring in the multiplayer
and we
out
know
in the wild.
That they couldn't play the multiplayer because Lucy
couldn't.
Yeah,
and like, there were specific like,
and the multiplayer is really good.
Yeah, and there were specific like matchmaking times where they're like, hey, log on and there'll be some people, but like we couldn't authoritatively speak to the multiplayer until the game is out in the wild literally today.
Yeah, which part of it totally.
Yeah, and so if Bethesda is like, hey, this an important part of the game is Snack Chat or whatever the hell it was called, and
Snap Naps. I think it's Snap Naps.
Fat Faps.
Tim Tams.
Oh, Jam Chams.
Shapes.
Oh. Barbecue. Australian Not the foods. New ones, though. No. We'll talk about those. How come we haven't got to eat Australian things?
They're all... I have them. We'll bring them in
next
week.
I'm waiting for them to rot under my desk first.
Yeah, that gives them extra flavor. No, I'm bringing them in next week, and I'm going to make a video of everyone eating them.
Can I just eat them?
On video, yes.
That's creepy.
Otherwise, you know, I'll have to record you all eating from my side YouTube channel, which White Boys Eat Food.
White Boys Eat Food.
Yeah, it's very popular.
Sounds like it.
It's not real. Please don't look that up.
Go to whiteboyseatfood.com.
I'm doing it.
Also, thank you to everyone who reviewed IGN on Yelp. Like, we got a ton of reviews of IGN on Yelp, which was really nice. Andrew, please stop Googling White Boys Eat Food.
Oh, he did it. Oh, no.
Yikes.
Yeah, let's get out of here.
Back to Doom,
problematic
though. Do we know who's reviewing Doom?
No, like, it was
Ryan
if he wanted to.
Really
wanted,
wanted to,
but he'll be gone.
But yep. Next week is Judges Week.
Yep.
Yeah,
that's where
you
judge things.
Yes. So he'll be at Judges Week for E3. So, I mean, do we know who's doing it? No?
You are.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm glad someone told me. That's great.
No, we'll see. I would love to see Chloe do it. I would love to see all kinds of people do it, but it just depends on timing.
Why don't you say my name?
I would love to see anyone but Marty do it.
Yeah.
Honestly, if there's anyone worse than Marty, I can't think of them.
Hitler.
Oh, yeah, he's
I just
bad.
Meant for reviewing Doom. I mean, yes, you'd
Hitler
be worse at reviewing Doom.
Hitler's a published author. And he's probably in hell.
Yeah.
Yes.
With demons.
Sure.
Yep.
All right, that was great, guys. You did very well. I'm very proud of you. All right. Now it's on to Rapid Fire.
Barpo Fire,
cool. Which is a segment in honor of the late, great Brian Altano.
You've never heard Brian say rap.
I have never heard Brian say rap.
Hey, everyone, tweet at Alana.
He doesn't do it every episode.
Charlanazard, if you've heard Brian say brap, brap.
I have never heard him say that.
You're a terrible friend.
I think that you guys just, like, maybe he used to say it a lot.
It's literally his catchphrase at the beginning of every podcast he does.
I think it's a lie.
I mean, he doesn't say it at the beginning of this one.
I'm going to pick a random episode of Podcast Beyond right now.
No, he doesn't. He yells Beyond at this one.
Yeah.
No, he says.
He does it at the beginning of every episode.
He says Beyond at
the
beginning, and then you go around the table and you say, I'm Marty Sleeve. I'm joined by Max Scoville, and Max goes, oh, I like Dragon Ball. And then
I don't
it goes
host
to
the
Brian,
show.
And then
I
Brian
don't.
Goes, brap, brap.
I don't think that's, maybe. I don't know. Anyway,
okay, so we're coming
we have
to
some questions.
So this is a segment called Rapid Fire. We go into the Podcast Beyond Facebook group, which is facebook.com/groups/podcastbeyond.
Or the YouTube channel, where we're now taking questions as well, which is youtube.com/IGNBeyond.
Yeah, and if you haven't subscribed to that, do that. Alana and I pretty much were in the comment section of every
replying,
video.
Reading literally every comment.
Yeah, and we're going to be pulling questions from there.
Sorry, keep going. I'm listening to Brian's intro.
No, we can't now. What are you... We're waiting to see if Brian says rap rap.
This is really amazing radio.
Hasn't happened
Wait.
Yet.
Keep going, keep going.
No.
All right, fine.
Wait. Podcast Beyond episode 411.
But am I in it?
No.
No.
Are you Miranda?
The argument is that I've never heard him say it.
Oh, man. Oh, dang.
That's the first time I've ever heard that.
He does it at the beginning of every episode.
I don't know, man. I don't think he does.
All right. So, rapid fire. we took questions from the YouTube and from the YouTube comments and from Facebook.
Facebook?
You can leave a question. Like Sjord Cock wrote... In the YouTube group.
That's what it is.
Which upcoming game do you think has the biggest chance of winning Game of the Year in 2016? So I guess starting off, what's everyone's current Game of the Year?
Andrew and I'm still the witness.
Yep, same.
But
I think I'm still Oxenfree.
Oxenfree is also great.
Oxenfree is very close
I don't think Oxenfree is going to win, though.
No. The more I think about... Like, when Oxenfree's on PS4, I'm definitely going back to play it again for this reason. Because I want to just play through that story, and they added some cool stuff. For me, it's weird because... The more I think about it, Firewatch isn't my game of the year right now, and it's in my like top five. It's a
Firewatch
great game.
I think about Firewatch less than I think about Oxenfree.
Exactly. Me too.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I think The Witness is still absolutely amazing. Obviously, Uncharted 4 is going to be a huge contender.
Yeah. I think Dark Souls 3. I think of things that came out, Dark I think Souls. Those three. Witness, Dark Souls 3, and Uncharted are games.
I really think
I mean, we don't know yet, obviously, but I really think Final Fantasy 15 has a chance.
Because totally, yeah.
It looks like it is doing everything right. And yeah, Gears 4 looks gorgeous and could also be. I mean, like, it's weird because there are games where pre-launch, if you would ask me, I would have said, like, Quantum Break has a chance. But, like, now I just feel like no one is talking about it in that way.
Yeah. No Man's Sky is the big question mark.
Yep.
Like, No Man's Sky, it could be that.
I'm totally not sold on that. That game. Yeah. I got unsold on that game because it took a really long time.
But the hype was our fault.
The hype was good.
Someone was very mad at us for the hype on that game on Twitter. Remember?
Yeah, people do that on IGN sometimes and be like, stop hyping this thing up. And like, we're literally reporting on a thing because it keeps getting a lot of traffic, so therefore you indicate that you want us to report on it.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people around the office are very hot on Overwatch. They really, really are into it.
I'm actually very excited to play that.
That could be up there.
I mean, it'd be cool if one of the...
I think I'm really
If Ubi's either something like For Honor or Ghost Recon or if Watch Dogs does come out, like if one of those is like AC2 caliber.
Or if Titanfall 2 has like a proper campaign. Like imagine Titanfall 2 just like... Yep. I mean, I kind of keep forgetting about it, and Titanfall 1 was unfortunately so fun to play for a little while, but I just put it down really quickly.
I think everyone was the same. That was exactly my experience.
But man, a multi-platform,
it's
awesome
a good year,
Titanfall
I think,
2
actually.
Could be great. Yeah, and honestly, Battlefield 1.
I think Watch Dogs 2 will be good.
Like, Battlefield 1 could be that game,
I mean,
Infinite
Battlefield
Warfare.
Or Call of Duty could be if they're amazing.
Totally.
So the last time Call of Duty got nominated, I believe, was Call of Duty 4, Modern Warfare
That's
1.
Fair. Yeah.
So we'll see, and honestly,
we also have smaller indies like maybe Inside, if the game from the Limbo team finally comes out, and you're like, oh, this is amazing.
Yep, so. Mario and Sonic at the 2016 Rio Olympic Games.
Shut up, Andrew. Shut up. Stop looking at. Oh, he's looking at so much pornographies.
Damn it, Andrew.
I'm not looking at video game release dates.
Oh, that sounds.
That's
like
what
porn.
I'm talking about.
Oh, that one is a little bit of pornography.
Kyle.
Oh, Dishonored 2 also.
Kyle Heberling asks favorite horror movie.
Does Alien count? Alien, if it counts? Count.
I think Alien can. Alien is a great movie.
Yeah.
I really like The Babadook, which is an Australian
movie.
The
Babadook
movie.
Was really
good. On
Netflix,
if you want to check that out. I love that movie.
Of my favorite recent horror movies are The Babadook and It Follows. If you haven't seen It Follows,
really
watch it. It's
it
incredible.
Soundtrack.
Amazing soundtrack by Disaster Piece, who did the score for Fez.
It Follows, and a lot of people like The Witch.
The Witch was really good.
I haven't seen that.
And then my favorite of all time is the original Halloween.
Mm.
Or Suspiria, which is an Italian movie with real nice colors.
Mm. The next question is from Megan Pomida. This is for Andrew. In 1 minute or less, describe the Persona games to someone who knows nothing about them. We're gonna time this.
Wait.
Okay.
Oh, dang.
Come on, Marty.
Oh, dang. I don't have fingerprints. And go.
They're JRPGs. They are set in primarily following high school characters, and they've been set in Japan. The general idea is that you have these people living their normal day-to-day high school life, but then they get involved in kind of a greater mystery, and they have this weird ability to some of these personas, which are these demons from Shin Megami Tensei is what they called them, but they're these kind of creatures that you can collect like Pokemon and use to battle, basically. And every character needs to kind of be awakened in order to use that persona is sort of the way it goes. I don't know where we started, so I don't know how much time I have left.
You have 30 seconds.
The big thing that separates them from other JRPGs, at least for me, is there's a huge like social element to them where you're going, there's like dating and there's like just bonding with people in general.
Seconds.
So not even necessarily just people who you want to go marry or whatever, or other things, but also
what kind of other things?
I'm talking about sex. Also, just people becoming closer friends with people. There's like an old couple in Persona 3 you can bond with. There's all kinds of cool stuff, and it just feels like a larger, more realized world than most RPGs. That's
I have a lot of questions. After that, I didn't.
Yes, they're cute animals. Yes, you can play as a dog in Persona 3.
You knew what they were. Excellent.
That was really good.
Killed it.
David Schroeder asks, what current gen game would you like to see demastered for an 8-bit?
We should start with Alana because she was really excited for. This one.
She tried to cut this question.
I don't want to.
And Andrew and I thought this question was incredible.
Yeah, I think so. In the way that like we saw, you know, the early GTAs evolve into GTA 3, and you had to rethink. Oh my God! Like the scope of this is crazy. You can like visit this whole world. You can do all this stuff. Doing the opposite of that is really interesting. And taking you mentioned Dark Souls,
which we're getting a lot of these 2D like stuff like Death's Gambit and stuff like Eider, which are almost like 2D. Retro-inspired games that are pulling those core tenets.
There was an awesome like 16-bit style one where it's only boss rush. Like, there's nothing...
Titan Souls,
mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a really, really cool example of, I think, what that game would look like. I'd be... Like, any open-world game. You mentioned Journey, I think, would be a really cool one.
Yeah, Journey would be interesting. Like, what would something like... Would The Witcher be just a, like, sort of JRPG? Like, would The Witcher play, like, Zelda or, like, Crusader Ascenti?
And that's the thing. Like, Zelda 1 and, I mean, it's 16-bit, but Link to the Past style games, like, those bigger open-world games are... Really, like, it's that sense of you had to kind of fill in the gaps with your imagination, and I feel like that led to interesting limitations that made them work harder to create realistic worlds. Whereas when it's photorealistic, obviously that requires tremendously more resources and stuff, but it also doesn't, you don't have to overcome those mm-hmm. like those technical yeah. boundaries. Like if you want to create something, you just show it to people yeah. rather than finding subtle, smart ways to like imply it.
A really interesting example of this was Metal Gear Ghost Babel, which was on the Game Boy Color, which came out after Metal Gear Solid and the PS1. Oh. But it took a lot of those elements of Metal Gear Solid, but it played in a top-down perspective like the original ones. So it played like the original ones, but it had so many of the interesting ideas and mechanics of the PS1 game. And it was awesome. It's like the secret best Metal Gear game.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. That was a really great question. Thanks
yeah,
for
awesome.
Choosing it,
Thank
Alana.
You. Yeah, that was such a good question. Thank you to David.
You want to read the next one, Alana?
Imran Haji asks, favorite Disney film?
The Lion King. I'm just going to assume this is animated movies. You can't be like,
Captain America,
Wars.
Civil War.
Shut up, Andrew. We're going to talk about that. An awful person asked the question later about it.
Oh, man.
I really like Brave.
I thought Brave was really cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oof. I really like Ratatouille. It's probably my favorite Pixar, but as far as like 2D animated.
Oh, dude, Zootopia.
Oh, I mean, that's the thing. I haven't
totally
seen Zootopia yet.
Really yeah.
Of Pixar, I would go Incredibles. Of like classic animation, yeah, Lion King probably.
Mm-hmm. I like Peter Pan. Mm-hmm. I like Dumbo. I like mm-hmm. Fantasia.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All good.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. Thanks, man. Mm-hmm. Matthew Perdue asks, since he isn't there, who is Brian's favorite Dragon Ball character? Alana.
Krillin.
I think it's Yajirobe.
I think it's Dragon Ball. I don't know. I've never watched Dragon Ball. I don't really? Know anything
oh,
about it.
Wow. But your
Dragon Boy is the main character.
But so your hair, but your hair in your high school picture looks like a Super Saiyan. Greg Sinclair asks, "What is your favorite San Francisco district?"
The Mission.
Yeah, probably same. The Mission.
Yeah, the Mission was my favorite for a long time. I really like North Beach now.
I like North Beach.
North Beach is pretty. Yeah. I live on Polk yeah. Street, which isn't nice, but it has nice bars.
That I agree with you.
Yeah, Golden Gate Park is very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Soma's terrible.
Yeah, not great.
No one should live in
it's
Soma.
Fine. Womp Sorry, womp. Andrew.
It's fine. I did found Soma. The A in Soma stands for Andrew.
What do the S, the O, and the M stand for?
Sad.
Oh, why'd you go to sad?
What?
Yeah, probably.
You have to ask.
Hey, Alana.
Mm-hmm?
Alana Pierce asks, hey, guys, can we talk about Civil War?
It's no. weird that someone asked the question and said, can we?
Yeah, that's very strange. I don't know who this Alana P.S. Posson is. I don't even pronounce my own name. This Alana Post Posson is. But yeah, I totally want to talk about Civil War. We all saw it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but not all the listeners have seen it.
So yes, without... we're not going to talk about spoilers. Yeah. I really liked it. I prefer Winter Soldier.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I hold it pretty closely to Guardians of the Galaxy.
I saw it for the second time last night. It is my favorite Marvel movie.
Wow.
Wow.
Boy.
Wario.
Wario. Yeah, I thought the movie was really good. I thought how it handled Spider-Man and Black Panther were incredible. I thought...
Spider-Man was awesome.
Yeah.
And
it's the best Spider-Man on film ever.
And yeah, the reveal of Spider-Man was just... Yep. All of yeah. it was really great.
And the airport scene in the middle is the coolest
yeah, the
superhero
scenes,
thing ever.
I think the fighting in it is incredible.
Yeah, I think it's the best representation of the... huge scope of superhero powers
and
ever
the
put
characters it fleshes out all of the characters really well. Had issues with the pacing a little bit and
it's a little long. Yeah,
yeah, this or the, it's not even that it's long, it's just that some of it seems like it should have been cut, like some of it felt unnecessary.
That's what I'm talking about.
And even as much as I love Spider-Man, like you could technically cut Spider-Man out of that movie and be fine.
Yeah,
like it wouldn't change that much.
So my biggest problem with it is the weight. It doesn't feel like that movie has a lot of weight or a lot of consequence or a
yeah.
lot of, you know, there's, you walk out of there and you're like, oh, that's a thing that happened. But
yeah,
you don't
we were
feel
talking.
Anything.
It moves the overall plot, like the Thanos thing, forward the least.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I feel like it moves all of the characters the most.
Yeah,
I feel
I
like
agree.
The characters get jostled and you learn more about them.
I mean, we can obviously it's we're going into. We should go into it more at some point on air. But like for me,
yeah,
it's,
we could actually.
The weird thing for me is like obviously this has become a de facto Avengers movie because so many people are in it. But it is still very much a Captain America movie, and those titles aren't a mistake. They're not just there to be there. Like, I do think, like, you will see more weight for the Avengers in an Avengers movie. Like, I
yes,
do think that
I agree.
This is – Cap is the core of it, and for Cap, there's plenty of weight, in my opinion. Like, I think it's actually, like, in terms of his story, I think there is a lot of significant stuff that happens. I mean, it's hard knocking into spoilers, but
I mean,
I think,
even
like,
that, I kind of don't agree because of a thing that would be a spoiler, but, like, it he definitely
when
has...
When Superman comes in, it's really weird.
He definitely has good character development. They
I guess,
all totally
yeah,
do. But
we,
I still, again, really liked it.
Yes.
We need to express that you can criticize something and still
just
really like
Uncharted.
It. I thought
yep.
it was great.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Just, yeah, saw some issues.
I think we can all agree it's better than Batman Superman.
Definitely better than Batman Superman.
Because Max's trial is better than
Thank
Batman
Thank you for
Superman.
That question, Alana Pierce.
Yeah, that was really good. It was crazy that the person who asked the question mispronounced her own last name.
Yeah.
It wasn't me. Who?
She's a troubled child.
It not me.
It not me.
Christian Verdick asks, do you celebrate animal birthdays?
Excellent question, Christian. Yes. We had a party for Max's dog, Peppers, a couple months ago. Andrew did not come to because he's really mean and hates Peppers. But Monty and I
both Peppers.
Went.
I had a previous engagement.
And everyone was dressed up very fancy. It was the most formal party that I've been to in America. And it was for a dog's birthday. Mm-hmm. It was very nice.
I once had a relative post a very robust happy birthday to her cat the day after my birthday, which she forgot.
Sorry,
man, you are Charlie Brown.
Moving on.
The cat died.
You're going to die too.
Oh, dang.
Lonnie, you want to read the last question?
Could you just keep giving me the ones that have difficult last names?
No, man. I thought we were doing like a
Ryan
back and forth.
Ryan Wasatch. I don't know how to pronounce this, Ryan.
I think Wasatch.
Wasatch.
Polish.
I want to know, what is your favorite bad game, meaning a game that most consider to be awful, but you really like or love? Thanks, you guys are awesome. Obviously, my answer is going to be Deadly Premonition. Though, I don't know that necessarily most people consider that to be awful. Like, I mean,
yeah.
Just some people do.
I feel like it's just divisive. Like, I feel like the people who like it, love it, and the people who hate it, hate it.
But while I love that game, I am aware that it is objectively a bad game. Mm-hmm. So I think it is a bad game, but I absolutely adore it. It's probably my favorite game.
I don't think I have any that are, like uses the word awful or bad. Like, I don't think I have any that people, like, truly think are awful, but like I really like the Final Fantasy 13 series. I know a lot of people don't.
I liked
Eternal
Kane
Sonata
too.
Kane Lynch 2.
Yeah, I
Kane Lynch
it.
Wait, which one is which?
Kane Lynch 2 is the one it's got like the Steadicam. I don't think the first one does that.
I'm trying to, there was one of them I liked and one that I didn't.
You like the roadie run and
yeah
I like Eternal Sonata, the JRPG on World Adventure came to PS3, but no one liked that at the time.
Yeah, that's I'm a sucker for 3D character platformers, and I remember playing stuff like Glover and Gex 2 Enter the Gecko and Voodoo Vince and Blinks the Time Sweeper that I liked despite knowing full well that they weren't very good. They weren't in the same caliber of Mario or Banjo or Jack and Daxter or anything like that, Psychonauts.
I would get clearance games a lot, so I played a lot of like really weird 3D, like crappy licensed 3D platformers that were like probably bad, but I spent a lot of time 100%ing because I just took what I could get, basically.
I mean, I also really liked I like Banjo-Tooie more than Banjo-Kazooie, which I think most people disagree with. You don't remember Banjo-Tooie, you can't talk.
I'm gonna replay it someday.
Exactly. Then you can
play it on the YouTube channel.
No, we have to do it for our annual Christmas Banjo playthrough.
So thank you so much. That was rapid fire. We did it, guys.
Congratulations.
If only we knew where the name came from. I just wish... I don't understand who would say such a catchphrase.
That's why he never says it.
I'm going to make a super cut of Barf Barf.
It has to be one that I'm
in. Literally typed Podcast Beyond and picked one at Rye. I'll do that too. Okay, we'll do it after the show. But I guarantee I can find you an episode that you were on where he said it.
Okay. Maybe you will.
So that was Podcast Beyond episode 443. You can find us all on Twitter. I am at McBiggity. Alana is at Charalanazard. And Andrew is at Garfep.
I'm tweeting a lot of Persona stuff. I apologize.
That's fine. Are you guys working on anything cool that you want to talk about?
Man, I was working on a lot of Disney Infinity stuff, but that's been canceled.
No, I hope it hasn't been. I hope you keep doing it. That stuff I think is
still
valid.
I mean, some of it's not relevant anymore. But yeah, I'm planning on putting together all of the Disney Infinity figures ever made.
That's awesome.
Which will be cool. And I've actually just been writing a lot of really interesting news on the site this week. We wrote about edible nail polish, which is
KFC flavored.
KFC flavored edible nail polish, and then these cool 3D printed Star Wars character skulls. Wrote about that yesterday. So there's just like a lot of cool culture stuff happening at the moment.
I hit my nose on the microphone. I never.
It's called booping.
I'm excited because whenever you ask this, I don't have answers. But I have a whole bunch of stuff I've been putting up lately. While we were in Japan for a secret project that we can't quite announce yet, we went to a bunch of cool places and actually made content out of them. So we've been putting up all these image galleries, these slideshows of. We did a really cool Mario themed bar we went to. We did a Pokemon Center. We did
two Final Fantasy cafes.
Yes, and we did Kotobukiya, which is a cool action figure store. We did all their Star Wars stuff.
You went there and you didn't tell me that?
I'm sorry.
It's like my favorite. Sorry.
But for the Final Fantasy one that Marty mentioned, there's a VR video in it that's actually really, really cool. From your phone, from a browser, or from a VR headset, you can basically look around the Final Fantasy cafes we were in, and it's really, really cool. It sounds dumb, but just try it. Like, yeah, I highly recommend you try it. Everything is in that same article. It's on IGN. It's called Take a Tour of Japan's Final Fantasy Cafes, and in there you can find just a really cool look at, like, every piece of merchandise that's in Art Neo, which is their store, but then also those cafes and all the cool, like, statues and all that stuff. And I also wrote about Tokyo Mirage Session Sharp FE, which is a Wii U game that is basically a secret Shin Megami Tensei Persona-style game that you can read about.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
That's a lot of stuff.
We did it.
How about you, Marty?
We're doing a lot of E3 prep, a lot of feature stuff.
Yeah, we are.
I wrote a feature on the 10 best secret bosses in games. They got a really, really cool video component.
Has Spelunky in it.
We have the road to E3, which is up now. The first one was Final Fantasy XV. Every day, every Monday through Friday for the next month, we're going to be showcasing a big game that is either confirmed or that we hope will be at E3.
Guess what my game was?
What about Hersona?
Oh, we made Hersonas in the office. We're trying to find who every male office member's counterpart was, and it was my idea. It was Marty's. Right,
wasn't it my idea to talk about it ever outside the confines of the office, but
you all went right. There. All
you're
right,
a
good
weird
stuff.
Man. So yeah, you can send in your questions numerous places. beyond@ign.com is our email address. The Facebook group, facebook.com/group/podcastbeyond. All of us are in there. That's where we take rapid fire. Mm-hmm. And then our YouTube channel, which is awesome, which we're going to start debuting exclusive content like Let's Plays and other things like that in full episodes.
Maybe we'll even do like a Civil War discussion of just
for there.
Beyond. Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. And that's youtube.com/ignbeyond.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And Marty and I are in the comments a whole bunch, so you can talk to us on there.
Why isn't Andrew in the comments?
I don't know. He's a real busy newsboy or something. And I think we just hit like 7,000 subscribers on that, which is crazy for the amount of time we've had it. So that's
awesome. It's only been like 2 weeks.
Thank
that's
you
awesome.
To everyone who has subscribed.
Awesome. For Alana Pierce and Andrew Goffard, I'm Marty Sliva. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week. Beyond.
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 Here's a quick question for you. How did you sleep last night? If your battle for a good night's sleep feels relentless, I have the answer. It's a podcast called Sleepwave, with meditations and hypnosis created to help you fall asleep. My relaxation techniques will help you feel calm and ready for sleep, with soft music that will help you fall asleep in minutes. Most listeners never hear the end of an episode, so search Sleepwave on your favorite podcast app and find out why over 1 million people have fallen asleep to my voice.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.